You want the country look and shop power with a warm, efficient home. A barn dominium gives you both, but only if you treat it like a real house with a shop attached, not a shed upgraded after the fact. The win is simple: straight square steel, a dry, durable shell, and quiet, comfortable rooms that pass inspection the first time. The risk is also simple: moisture, noise, and code misses that turn into endless fixes. This guide walks you through the whole job in three clean passes. First, you'll lock the plan, permits, and numbers so the project is buildable and bankable. Second, you'll pour a flat slab and raise a tight shell that stays dry in a storm. Third, you'll insulate, wire, plumb, and finish rooms that feel good in July and January, then walk out with a clean certificate of occupancy, ready to build it right. Chapter 1: Plan, Permit, and Design. Hook. You will turn an idea into a buildable plan that holds up in front of a lender, a building official, and a storm. The win is simple: a design that matches your budget, a permit that clears fast, and drawings that a crew can follow without guesswork. The risk is also simple: a pretty sketch that ignores code, moisture, and money. This chapter gives you the path that avoids rework and delays. Scope. By the end of this chapter, you will define what a barn dominium is in your context, confirm how your authority classifies it, and lock your use and code path. You will choose a structural system that fits your span and climate. You will set a realistic budget and timeline with real numbers. You will confirm site and soil conditions. You will pick a foundation type that matches loads and frost depth. You will decide on an insulation and condensation control strategy. You will plan utilities and the location of your service equipment. You will secure engineered drawings and energy sheets. You will submit a complete permit application. You will outline which tasks you self-perform and which tasks go to licensed trades. You will set up risk controls and insurance. Safety. Planning is a safety task. Lives depend on the decisions you make here. Wind, snow, and seismic loads exist whether you account for them or not. Treat them as rules. Use a licensed structural engineer for the frame, the connections, and the foundation. Use stamped truss or frame calculations. Respect fire separation rules between living space and any shop or garage. Plan for egress and smoke alarms. Plan for carbon monoxide alarms near fuel-burning appliances. Plan for stairs and railings that meet rise and run and guard height. Plan for safe clearances at panels and equipment. Plan for lockout or tag out later when you do mechanical work. Plan for fall protection once you leave the ground. Planning for safety now prevents shortcuts later. Tools and materials. You will need a recent boundary survey or at least a site sketch with property lines, setbacks, and utilities. Get a basic geotechnical report, or at minimum a bearing test and frost depth note. Pull a climate zone map and your design wind speed. Pull ground snow loads or roof snow loads. Pull seismic design category. Gather zoning and building code handouts. Collect lender requirements for construction loans. Draw a preliminary floor plan with room sizes and door and window ideas. Draw an exterior elevation that shows wall height, roof pitch, and door openings. Create a list of must-haves and nice-to-haves. Use a calendar with holidays and inspection lead times marked. Setup. Start with your why. Decide how you want to live and work in this building. Write the number of bedrooms. Write the size of the shop and the clear height you need under the door track. Decide if the shop is attached or detached. Decide if the shop and house share air or stay separated by a raised wall and a door with self-closer. Decide if you want a one-story plan or a loft. Decide on a single roof or a main roof with shed extensions. Mark your climate zone and typical seasonal extremes. Mark the strongest wind you have seen in the last 10 years. Mark the worst ice or snow. Write the allowed building height for your zone. Write the minimum side and rear setbacks. Write the front setback. Check for easements, flood zones, and right-of-way lines. Walk the site and note slope, drainage, trees, and views. Take photos from each corner. Steps. Step 1. Define the barn dominium and confirm code classification. A barn dominium is a house that borrows a barn shell style and spans, often with a shop attached. That simple sentence hides a key point. Your house is still a house. Most authorities will classify it as a one-family dwelling with an attached garage or shop. A few will treat parts of it as light industrial or storage when the shop is large or used for business. Ask your building department which path applies. Ask in writing. Residential classification brings energy code, smoke alarms, egress windows, and fire separation rules between living space and a garage or shop. A mixed-use classification may change fire ratings and exits. Confirm now so you do not redesign later. Step 2. Choose a structural system. Post frame and red iron steel are the two common paths. Post frame uses wood posts in the ground or on piers with trusses and girts. It can be fast and cost-effective. It needs careful thermal break planning, because wood girts and metal skins bridge heat and cold. Red iron steel uses rigid frames of wide flange beams with purlins and girts. It gives precise clear spans and predictable engineering. It can cost more in material, but may save time on erection and finishes. Choose for span, door width, wind, snow, and the level of interior finish you want. If you want a quiet, tight living space with drywall and clean lines, make sure your system supports continuous insulation and a flat interior plane. Step 3. Set size, layout, and spans. Work backward from rooms and functions. Draw bedrooms with closets. Draw a kitchen with work triangle and pantry. Draw bathrooms with clearances. Draw a mechanical room with a service zone. Draw the shop with the largest item you plan to move in and out. Draw overhead door sizes and swing. Align door openings to structural bays to avoid heavy headers. Keep bay spacing compatible with stock frames. A common bay spacing is 20 or 25 feet. Keep the roof pitch practical for your climate and local style. Shallow roofs shed less snow and may need higher structure loads in winter regions. Steeper roofs add volume and look tall. Balance look and load. Step 4. Plan the foundation. Choose between a monolithic slab with thickened edge, a slab on grade with turned down footings, or a pier and beam system. The soil and the loads decide. Use the geotechnical report to pick a bearing capacity and to judge if you need over excavation. Note frost depth. In a frost region, carry footings below frost depth or use an approved frost-protected shallow foundation with insulation out and down. Use a capillary break under the slab such as wash stone. Use a vapor barrier of at least 10 mil with taped seams. Plan control joints. Do not guess joint spacing. Your engineer should set it. Include rebar patterns at edges and around large door openings. Plan for anchor bolts or piers that match the frame supplier and the end. Step 5. Solve moisture and condensation. Metal skin sweats when warm, moist air meets a cold surface. A fixed barn door mistake is to ignore this and then paint over drips. Plan a thermal break and an air seal in the drawings. One clean path is closed cell spray foam direct to the metal. Another path is rigid foam outside or inside with a continuous interior air barrier and bats. In cold climates, you must control the dew point location within the wall and roof. In hot, humid climates, you must control inward vapor drive. Your engineer or energy consultant can set foam thickness and interior layers. For the roof, pick one of three ideas. Use a roof panel with integrated drip stop. Use a vented roof with sheathing and underlayment over purlins. Or use closed cell foam under the roof. Draw the details. Do not leave it to field decisions. Step 6. Budget and cost drivers. Write a line item budget. Site work. Foundation. Frame and steel package. Erection. Insulation. Mechanical. Electrical. Plumbing. Drywall or liner panels. Flooring. Cabinets and counters. Doors and windows. Paint and trim. Permits and fees. Utilities and driveway. Contingency. Note the drivers. Large spans and tall walls cost more. Big glass costs more. Oversized overhead doors cost more. Spray foam costs more up front and can save energy and reduce noise. Concrete costs move with fuel and cement markets. Steel prices move. Labor costs rise with schedule pressure. Add a real contingency. 10% is a starting idea. If you are an owner builder, add a day rate for a general contractor to step in if you get stuck. It protects the project. Step 7. Financing and appraisal path. Some lenders know barndominiums. Some do not. A few will ask for higher down payments or will appraise based on cost. Talk to lenders early. Bring a full scope and stamped plans. Bring a schedule and a draw request plan. Show that the structure meets code. Show that the interior meets normal residential standards. If the appraiser cannot find direct comps, the lender may use cost to build. Tight plans and a clean budget help. Ask your insurer what they need for a builder risk policy. Many ask for stamped drawings and a site security plan. Step 8. utilities and site plan. Decide on well and septic or municipal connections. If septic, order a perk test and sketch a field that fits your setbacks and wells. Keep heavy truck routes away from a future drain field. Place the electrical service on an exterior wall with clear working space. Plan conduit paths to outbuildings now. Place the mechanical room near the bulk of the duct runs and water runs. Short runs save money and improve performance. Plan interior plumbing walls that stack between floors if you have a loft. Keep vent stacks aligned. Plan hose bibs at each facade. Plan floor drains in the shop and slope the slab if allowed. Check local rules for drains that tie to oil and grit separators. Plan roof drainage to daylight with splash blocks or underground drains to a daylight outlet. Plan swales that protect the slab and driveway. Step 9. Drawings and engineering. Hire a structural engineer who works with your chosen system. Ask for frame sizing, base plate and anchor details, bracing, purlin and girt spacing, and connection schedules. Ask for wind and seismic notes on the first sheet. Ask for a foundation plan that matches the soil notes. Ask for stair details with rise and run. Ask for a shear wall or frame analysis if you have many large openings. Ask for a roof diaphragm plan if you use sheathing. If you will use metal roofing on purlins, ask for purlin bracing notes. For energy, hire a designer who can produce code sheets. Show wall our values, roof our values, slab edge insulation, window U factor, door U factor, and blower door target. Keep the energy strategy consistent with the moisture plan. Draw wall sections that show air barrier lines and insulation lines. Make a door and window schedule with sizes, rough openings, egress status, and safety glazing where required. Step 10. Permit package and submittal. Collect the site plan, the floor plans, the elevations, the structural sheets, the foundation sheets, the energy sheets, and any truss or frame calcs. Add utility plans if required. Add a septic plan if on-site wastewater is used. Add a driveway plan if your area requires it. Print 2 sets if your office is paper-based. Upload clean PDFs if your office is digital. Use clear sheet names and numbers. Include contact information on the title sheet. Ask the plan's reviewer how long the first review cycle takes. Ask what typical corrections look like. Ask what inspections are required and in what order. Pay fees and get a permit number. Keep the number in your binder and on a site sign. Step 11. Schedule and procurement. List every long lead item. Frames. Steel panels. Windows. Overhead doors. Spray foam contractor. HVAC equipment. Electrical gear. Plumbing fixtures. Cabinets. If a supplier can give lead times, note them on the calendar. Work backward from your target move-in date. Add buffer for weather. Add buffer for review cycles. Book the concrete crew around seasonal peaks. Book the spray foam crew around other builds. Confirm crane availability for erection week. Stagger deliveries so material does not sit in mud. Step 12. Scope split and contracts. Decide what you will self-perform. Many owner-builders handle site cleanup, painting, trim, or cabinets. Leave foundation, structural steel, gas piping, main electrical service, and HVAC to licensed trades. Write simple contracts that name scope, price, schedule, and payment terms. Require insurance certificates and workers' compensation. Ask for lien releases with each progress payment. Align payment to milestones that you can verify. Avoid paying in advance for labor. Deposit only for custom materials that cannot be reused elsewhere, and ask that those be billed directly from the supplier when possible. Step 13. Insurance and risk controls. By builder risk coverage that includes theft, fire, wind, and vandalism. Confirm exclusions. Secure the site with fencing, locks, and a lit job box. Post emergency contacts. Keep first aid kits on site. Keep fire extinguishers near work areas. Assign a person to do a daily safety walk. Assign a person to log weather, deliveries, and visitors. Photograph the site at least once a week from the same four corners. This record helps with claims and disputes. Step 14. Noise and comfort planning. Barn doors can echo. Think about sound control now. Place bedrooms away from the loudest shop wall. Use resilient channels and insulation in bedroom partitions. Use solid core doors in bedrooms and baths. Plan floor coverings that soften sound. On the mechanical side, size ductwork for low noise. Avoid high velocity near bedrooms. Isolate the air handler from bedrooms. place laundry near the kitchen or garage, not in the bedroom hall. If the shop is attached, build a rated separation with sealed drywall both sides and solid framing. Do not put return air in a garage or shop. Keep the living air system closed to the shop. Step 15. Energy and comfort targets. Right targets. Slab edge insulated. Walls with a continuous thermal break. Roof with high R value and a tight air seal. Windows and doors with low U factor and low air leakage. Blower door below a target set by your code, or better if you can. Ducts sealed and tested. Ventilation with a balanced system or a continuous bath fan with a backdraft damper. Kitchen hood ducted outside. Dryer ducted outside with a rigid smooth duct. Attic or roof vented per code or built as a conditioned space per design. Write these targets on your energy sheet and repeat them in the scope to each trade. Verify. You are ready to submit for permits when you can check each of these points. The authority confirmed your classification in writing. The structural system is chosen and drawn. The foundation plan matches soil and frost depth. The insulation and condensation plan is drawn and consistent with climate. The budget lines add to a number that you can fund. The lender has a path to draw and appraise. The site plan shows setbacks, drives, drainage, and utilities. The mechanical room location is fixed. The electrical service location is fixed. The door and window schedule is complete. The energy sheets match the wall and roof sections. The permit packet is complete and named. The schedule includes long lead items. Contracts and insurance are in draft and ready to sign after permit intake. Common fails and fixes. Fail. Treating the project like an agricultural building to save time. Fix. Follow the residential code with the required fire separation, energy code, and egress. Fail. Leaving the thermal break and air barrier to field judgment. Fix. Draw the wall and roof sections with exact layers and materials. Specify tape and sealant types. Fail. Oversizing overhead doors without structural coordination. Fix. Align door openings to frame bays and use engineered jam details. Fail. Choosing post frame, then deciding to hang drywall directly on girts without a plan. Fix. Add framing or liner panels that create a flat interior plane and hold drywall edges. Fail. Underestimating concrete and steel prices. Fix. Update quotes within 30 days of order and carry a real contingency. Fail. No plan for storm water. Fix. Grade away from the slab, extend downspouts, and cut swales early. Fail. Mixing fuel-burning appliances and tight envelopes without makeup air. Fix. Size ventilation and makeup air in the mechanical design. Fail. Forgetting noise control. Fix. Place rooms with intention and specify sound control in sensitive walls. Document. Set up a binder and a digital folder. Put the permit number on the spine. Inside, store the survey soil report, climate zone notes, wind and snow data, zoning map, and code handouts. Include lender requirements and appraisal notes. Include the preliminary plan and the final stamp set. Include the energy sheets. Add a copy of each bid and contract. Add insurance certificates. Add a contact list for the building department, the engineer, and each trade. Add an inspection checklist with likely order and lead times. Add a procurement log with order dates and promised deliveries. Photograph the site corners, the driveway path, and any drainage features. Date each photo. These records become your memory when the site gets busy. Recap. You defined your use and locked the code path. You chose a structure that fits your span and climate. You set size and layout that align with frames and doors. You designed a foundation from soil and frost depth. You solved condensation with a clear thermal break and air seal. You built a real budget and found a lender path. You planned utilities, service locations, and drainage. You hired engineering and prepared energy sheets. You assembled a permit package that a reviewer can read in one pass. You laid out a schedule that respects long lead items. You decided what work you will do and what work will go to licensed trades. You secured insurance and risk controls. You now have a plan that can be built, inspected, and lived in with comfort and pride. Chapter 2, Groundwork and Shell. Hook. You will turn ground into a flat, strong pad and raise a straight, square, watertight shell that passes inspections on schedule. The win is a slab that stays dry and a frame that holds true through wind and time. The path is careful layout, clean concrete, and steel set with patience and checks at each lift. That is your setup. Scope. By the end of this chapter, you will have the site staked with control points, the pad built and compacted, the slab poured with proper joints and moisture control, anchor bolts placed to plan, the frame erected, roof and wall panels installed with flashing and trim, doors and windows set, and the shell made weather tight. Rough sleeves for plumbing, electrical, and HVAC will be in place. You will complete the required inspections for foundation, framing, sheathing, roof dry-in, and rough utilities as scheduled by your authority. Safety. Work only with a daily safety plan. Wear eye protection, hearing protection, gloves, and high visibility vests. Use hard hats near equipment and lifts. Keep spotters on every backing vehicle and on every lift. Set trench and excavation limits. Respect soil that is wet, sloped, or loose. Use fall protection at working heights. Lock out temporary power at the source before any work near conductors. Use rigging gear that is rated and inspected. Never stand under a suspended load. Keep walking paths clean and free of rebar tails and screws. Review the weather at sunrise and again after lunch. Stop work if gusts hit unsafe levels for your lift plan. Tools and materials. Layout tools include a builder level or laser, measuring tapes, string lines, stakes, spray paint, and a notebook that lives in a zip bag. Earthwork needs a skid steer or small dozer, a plate compactor or roller, and soils for fill that meet your engineer notes. Concrete work uses forms, rebar, chairs, tie wire, bolt templates, a bull float, edgers, and a proper vapor barrier of at least 10 mil with taped seams. You will need anchor bolts, base plates if specified, and hold downs. For steel or post-frame erection, you need a telehandler or small crane, approved rigging, impact wrenches, torque wrench, magnetic levels, spud wrenches, and a full set of fasteners per the frame supplier. Metal panels, trim, closures, foam tape, butyl tape, and sealants complete the skin. Roofing requires underlayment if specified, ridge vents or equivalent, and snow guards where needed. Doors and windows arrive with flashings and screws that match the substrate. Temporary power includes a weather-rated panel with ground rod and in-use covers. Sleeves for rough utilities include PVC for drains and conduit for feeders and low voltage. Setup. Bring out your survey or site plan. Set two permanent control points that cannot be disturbed. One should be a steel pin at a fence line. The other can be a concrete nail set in a tree root flare or a curb. Shoot elevations from these points. Mark finished floor elevation on a lath near the building corner. Make sure finished floor sits above surrounding grade, not below it. A good starting rule is finished floor 2 hands above the highest known grade at the building line. Confirm the stormwater direction. Plan swales and downspout discharge runs now. Walk truck paths and crane paths. Build turning radii with compacted stones so drivers can reach the pour and the steel set. Place a dumpster and a steel rack away from the slab area so nothing blocks the pour. Steps. Step 1. Establish layout and square. Pull your first baseline along the longest wall. Set corner stakes with a clear label that matches the plan sheet. Use the 3-4-5 method scaled up. For example, pull 30 feet on one leg and 40 feet on the other leg. The diagonal should be 50 feet if the corner is square. Record the diagonal in your notebook. Check both diagonals across the rectangle. The two diagonal measurements should match within the tolerance on your drawings. Mark building corners with hubs and guard them with offset stakes so you can rebuild a corner if a machine knocks a hub loose. Paint the control points and wrap them with ribbon. Protect them for the entire job. Step 2. Build the pad and compact. Strip topsoil from the building footprint and 5 feet beyond. Stockpile topsoil for later landscaping. Proof roll the subgrade. If the soil pumps under tire, remove and replace with proper fill. Place fill in thin lifts. A common lift is 6 inches compacted. Compact each lift to the density in your soil's report. Use a plate compactor for small areas and a roller for wide pads. Check moisture. Fill should feel barely damp, not wet. Shape the pad to finished floor subgrade, less the slab thickness. Set an even slope for drainage away from the building perimeter. Park equipment off the pad to avoid rutting your final grade. Step 3. Formwork, rebar, vapor, and termite treatment. Set exterior forms to plan dimensions. Use straight 2x8 or steel forms and check for bow. Brace corners with kickers. Check top of form against finished floor elevation at several points. Place rebar per the engineer schedule. Use chairs to keep steel at the correct height. Tie laps to the length noted in your schedule. Do not lay steel directly on the vapor barrier. That is a common mistake. Spray termite treatment, if required by your code, before you place the vapor barrier. Roll out the vapor barrier across the subbase. Overlap seams at least 6 inches and tape them. Bring the barrier up the forms to create a pan. Penetrations will need boots. Seal around sleeves with tape that is made for vapor barriers. Place control joint dowels if the plan calls for them. Never guess joint layout. Use the drawings. Step 4. Sleeves for utilities. Before concrete, set sleeves for drains, water, electrical, and low voltage. Mark sleeve size and destination with a marker on a stake and on your notebook page. Place sleeves with a gentle slope on drains and with enough rise to trim after the pour. Add a spare sleeve or 2 near the mechanical room. Cap sleeves so concrete cannot enter. Take photos with a tape and frame and note distances from 2 fixed edges. These photos will save time later. Step 5. Anchor bolts and templates. Lay out anchor bolt locations from the drawings. Many steel packages come with bolt templates. If you have templates, build them square and true on a workbench. Label each with a grid code that matches the plan. If you do not have templates, set bolts through the forms with temporary cleats and double-check center-to-center distances. Check projection height. All bolts must have threads above the nut after final set. Stage a spare set of bolts in case one bends in the pour. Call your inspector if a foundation inspection is required before concrete. Step 6. Pour the slab. Order the mix that matches your plan. A common spec for a shop slab is 4,000 psi with fiber reinforcement. Follow your engineer. Place concrete during a weather window that avoids heavy rain and freezing nights. Start at the far end and pull toward the truck path. Vibrate edges and thickened areas carefully. Strike off with a straight screed. Bull float to open the cream. Cut control joints while the slab is green with a jointer or early entry saw. Follow the spacing on your drawings. A simple rule when drawings are silent is spacing at 2 to 3 times the slab thickness in feet. For example, a 4-inch slab would allow joints 8 to 12 feet apart. Do not overwork the surface with water. Cure with a sheet cure or curing compound. Protect the slab from wind that can cause rapid moisture loss. Place base plates or leave anchor bolts proud and plumb per your method. Clean up washout in a controlled area. Keep trucks off the pad edges after the pour. Step 7. Verify anchor and dimensions. After the slab gains initial strength, pull dimensions on every grid line. Check offsets to the control points. Measure bolt patterns and diagonals. Record any drift and consult the engineer if out of tolerance. Minor error may be corrected with oversized plate holes or epoxy anchors if approved. Do not assume. Get it in writing if you adjust. Step 8. Prepare for steel or post erection. Stage columns and rafters on dunnage. Keep parts off the slab by a few inches so they stay clean and dry. Sort by grid mark. Place all hardware in labeled bins. Review the lift plan with the crew. Assign a dedicated signal person. Inspect rigging. Set exclusion zones with cones and ribbon. Review wind limits for the day. Confirm the crane or telehandler can reach all picks with margin. Check that anchor bolts are free of concrete and nuts spin cleanly. Step 9. Set columns and frames. Start at a corner grid that gives you the best line of sight. Lift the first column into place. Set on shims if needed to hold plumb. Snug the nuts only. Do not fully torque until the line is braced. Erect the matching column and the first rafter or frame. Use temporary bracing to hold alignment. Use a long level or laser to plumb columns in both directions. Check base plate bearing. Set the next frame and connect purlins or girts per the sequence in your erection manual. Keep bracing close behind each new bay. Measure diagonals of the frame line often. Mark corrections loud and clear. Take your time. The shell is only as straight as your first 3 bays. Step 10. Install roof purlins and wall girts. Install members in the pattern and spacing shown on your drawings. Seat each in its notch or on its clip with proper fasteners. Do not substitute screws. Tighten to snug and return later for final torque. Maintain the required lap at splices. Keep a go or no-go gauge for spacing so the roof panels fit. Confirm the rake lines are straight as you go. If the system is post-frame, ensure truss heel height is consistent to keep your eaves straight. Step 11. Sheath with metal panels and flashings. Start with the roof if your plan allows it. Install eave trim and foam closures. Set the first roof panel square at the eave and gable. This first sheet sets the path for the entire roof. Fasten per the screw map. Screws go perpendicular to the sheet. Seat washers firm, not crushed. Stagger laps as specified. Install ridge closures and ridge cap. Move to wall panels once the roof is secure. Start at a reference corner and install base trim. Keep the first wall sheet plumb. Use a laser to check every 6 to 8 feet. Add corner trim, J trim, and head flashings around openings. Run butyl tape at mating trims where the details call for a seal. Install snow guards if required by your climate and engineer. At each day end, button up edges to keep wind from lifting new sheets. Step 12. Condensation and thermal break details. If your plan includes roof condensation control, confirm the membrane or insulated panel is continuous to the ridge. Seal laps per the manufacturer. For walls that will take interior insulation later, install a thermal break now if the design uses it. Foam tape at girts can help with panel rattle and minor thermal bridging. Record what you installed so the insulation contractor can plan their details. Step 13. Set windows and doors. Confirm rough openings match the schedule. Dry fit each unit. Apply flashing tape or metal head flashing per the detail set. Set windows level and plumb. Fasten through the flange into structure, not just into liner material. Check operation before you move to the next unit. For overhead doors, set tracks square and plumb. Reinforce jambs as shown on your drawings. Install weather strip and threshold seals. Check light infiltration at dusk and adjust. For man doors, set thresholds on a bed of sealant and use 3 hinges with long screws into structure. Install pan flashing where water can collect and move. Step 14. Weatherproofing checks. Walk the roof on a calm day. Check laps and fastener rows. Look for missed screws. Pull a hose test down low on a wall and watch for leaks inside. Seal any pinholes with the approved product, not with random caulk. Check transitions at corners, base, and eave. Confirm gutters and downspouts are hung to slope toward outlets. Extend downspouts away from the foundation by at least 5 feet. Protect outlets from heavy truck traffic. Step 15. Temporary power and panel location. Install a temporary service pole if you have not done so. Set a weather-rated panel with a main breaker and in-use covers. Drive a ground rod and bond it. Set the permanent service location on the exterior wall per the plan. Keep clear working space 30 inches wide and 36 inches deep in front of the panel. Photograph everything for your records. Step 16. Inspections and sign-offs. Call for foundation inspection when the forms, rebar, vapor barrier, and sleeves are in and before the pour if that is required. Call for framing and sheathing inspections once the shell is up and braced. Call for roof dry-in if your area requires it. Keep the site neat for the inspector. Have drawings on site. Take notes on any corrections. Fix them the same day if possible. Get a re-inspection time in writing. Verify. At this stage, the pad is stable. The slab is flat with defined joints. The anchor bolts are in the right place. Frames are plumb and aligned, and panels are tight. Doors and windows open and close smoothly. Downspouts throw water away from the foundation. Sleeves are where you marked them and are open. Inspection cards show approvals. Your schedule log shows the next tasks and deliveries. That is your verify list. Common fails and fixes. Fail. Slab curls or shows random cracks. Fix. Confirm joint spacing and depth, improve curing, and verify subbase moisture control. Add saw cuts to the right depth as soon as the slab will not revel. Fail. Anchor bolts out of position. Fix. If error is minor and the engineer agrees, slot base plates or use approved epoxy anchors. If error is large, core and reset with an engineered repair. Never hide a mislocation with oversized holes without approval. Fail. Frame racks out of square during erection. Fix. Add temporary bracing and pull the line with come alongs before skin goes on. Check diagonals at each bay before moving on. Fail. Condensation drips under the roof on cold mornings. Fix. Add a proper condensation control layer if the plan missed it, or install closed cell spray foam under the roof panel as an approved retrofit. Fail. Water backflows at base trim in heavy rain. Fix. Add kickout flashing, seal laps with butyl, improve grade to drive water away, and extend downspouts. Fail. screw washers crushed and leaking. Fix. Replace crushed fasteners and train the crew to seat snug only. Use a clutch setting on drivers. Document. Take photos of subgrade, each fill lift, compaction test results, formwork, rebar layout, vapor barrier seams, sleeve locations, anchor bolt settings, and pour joints. Photograph each frame bay with a tape across the diagonal measurement. Photograph roof and wall fastener rows and flashing details. Keep delivery tickets for concrete and steel. Keep torque logs for structural bolts. Save inspection notes and approvals. File everything in your binder by stage so you can answer questions fast. Recap. You establish line and level from permanent control points. You built a compacted pad and poured a slab with proper moisture control and joints. You set anchors, raised frames, braced the line, and installed roof and wall panels with clean flashings and closures. You set doors and windows, routed water away, and sealed the shell. You passed your foundation and framing checks and have a clean path into rough electrical, plumbing, insulation, and interior framing. Chapter 3 Systems, Interiors, and Certificate of Occupancy. Hook. You will turn a tight shell into a quiet, comfortable home that meets code and feels good in summer and winter. The win is clean systems, straight finishes, and a final inspection that clears on the first visit. The path is simple. Rough it right, close it tight, test it, then finish with care. That is your setup. Scope. By the end of this chapter, you will insulate walls and roof with a dew point plan that matches your climate. You will frame interiors, set fire separations, and air seal penetrations. You will run electrical, plumbing drain waste and vent, water lines, and HVAC ducts. You will pass rough inspections. You will install drywall or liner panels, floors, cabinets, trim, and doors. You will set fixtures and appliances, balance air, and complete energy tests. You will compile a binder of documents and schedules. You will earn a clean certificate of occupancy. Safety. Work with power off and circuits locked out. Confirm zero at the panel before you touch a conductor. Use eye protection, hearing protection, gloves, and a respirator when you cut drywall or spray foam. Ventilate during adhesives, paints, and finishes. Use ground fault protection on temporary circuits. Protect open stair holes and balcony edges. Cap water lines and purge pressure before you cut. Use two people to lift heavy doors, cabinets, and tops. Maintain clear walkways and store blades and bits with guards. Tools and materials. You will need framing lumber for interior walls, screws, nails, construction adhesive, and fire-rated drywall where required at shop separations. For insulation, you will need closed cell spray foam or open cell plus a smart membrane, bats, or rigid foam as drawn, along with sealants and tapes that match your air barrier. Electrical rough uses boxes, cable or conduit, staples or supports, terminations, arc fault and ground fault protection where required, a panel with spaces per your load plan and labels. Plumbing rough uses pipe for drain waste and vent, pipe for supplies, valves, hangers, traps, and test plugs. HVAC uses ducts, takeoffs, dampers, boots, line sets, condensate lines, and hangers. Finishes need drywall or liner panels, joint compound, fasteners, primers, paints, flooring, cabinets, tops, doors, and trim. Testing requires a blower door, duct tester, pressure gauge, water pressure gauge, and a simple sound meter for commissioning notes. Setup. Open your drawings. Confirm the insulation strategy chosen in Chapter 1 carries through all details. Check that the air barrier line is continuous on every wall and the roof. Walk the floor plan and snap lines for interior walls. Mark door swings and clearances. Mark locations for the panel, baths, kitchen, laundry, mechanical, and returns. Pre-stage materials, so you do not crush insulation or scratch floors later. Post a list that says what inspection comes next and what must be ready for it. Steps. Step 1. Interior framing and fire separation. Frame interior walls with 2x4 or 2x6 lumber as drawn. Straighten plates and pick straight studs for door walls. Plumb each corner. Block for cabinets, floating vanities, barn door tracks, and handrails now. At the shop or garage wall, build a rated separation as required by local code. Hang fire-rated drywall to structure on the shop side before you close the living side if the detail calls for it. Use fire-rated sealant at penetrations. Install self-closing rated door sets between shop and living areas. Do not place return air grills in a garage or shop. Step 2. penetrations and air sealing plan. Walk the shell and mark every hole that will break the air barrier. At walls with a continuous interior air barrier, seal the sheathing seams if exposed or apply the membrane per the product rules. Use compatible tapes and sealants. Seal the rim joist or eave line carefully. Plan for a continuous bead at top plates before drywall. Write it on the wall so the crew does not forget. Cap all unused penetrations. If you plan rigid foam inside, seal joints tight and tape them before bats. Step 3. Insulation and moisture control. Install insulation per the engineering or energy sheets. Closed cell spray foam should be put down in lifts to the specified thickness. Check thickness with a probe and record it. Open cell foam needs a vapor smart membrane in cold climates and special care in humid climates. Rigid foam must be taped at seams and sealed at edges. Bats must fit without gaps or compression. At the roof, follow the dew point control rules set in Chapter 1. Vent above insulation if your design is vented. In a hot, humid climate, control inward vapor drive by limiting interior perms and keeping a robust exterior water control layer. Do not bury wet materials. Let them dry before you cover them. Step 4. Electrical rough-in. Mark receptacle spacing to meet local rules. Use tamper-resistant devices in living areas if your code calls for them. Run loops clean and supported. Avoid crisscross bundles that trap heat. Keep cable clear of drywall screw lines near openings. Drill centered holes and use nail plates where you are close to an edge. Pull home runs to the panel. Label every run at both ends. Provide dedicated circuits for big appliances as required. Use arc fault protection where your code requires it and ground fault protection at kitchens, baths, garage, exterior, and laundry as required. Set boxes flush to finish surface. Pull low voltage in separate holes. Keep a 6-inch separation from power to reduce noise. Photograph all walls with a tape in the frame before you cover them. Step 5. Plumbing drain waste and vent. Lay out the main drain line with fall as drawn. Common fall is 1/4 inch per foot on small drains. Use long sweep fittings for horizontal turns. Put cleanouts where you can reach them. Vent each fixture group per code. Tie vents back to a main vent through the roof. Keep traps near fixtures and vent within the required distance. Pressure test supply lines and water test drain lines per your inspector notes. Mark future locations of shutoff valves and hose bibs. If you have a slab on grade and plan floor drains or shower curbs, confirm slopes and install pans and liners per the drawings. Step 6. Water supply and gas piping. Run hot and cold water lines with clean supports. Use proper sleeves where you pass through structure. Keep hot lines inside the insulated envelope. Insulate hot water lines in unconditioned spaces. At gas piping, use a licensed pro where required. Bond and pressure test gas lines. Draw a route that avoids returns and ducts. Place drip legs and shutoffs at appliances. Label each with a simple tag. Step 7. HVAC layout and duct quality. Use the manual J load that fits your climate and envelope. Set duct sizes per manual D or your engineer. Keep supplies on exterior walls or at the ceiling plane to wash cold or hot surfaces. Place returns away from supplies to avoid short circuit. Seal ducts with mastic or approved tape. Hang ducts with smooth supports and no sharp bends. Maintain clearances from combustibles around flues. Slope condensate drains to a safe outlet and add an overflow switch at pans. If you use mini splits, size line sets to the unit and insulate them. Keep outdoor units clear of snow lines and drifting. Provide fresh air with a simple balance system or an energy recovery ventilator. If you choose bath fans as your baseline, pick quiet models and duct them outside with rigid pipe. Tape and screw all joints. Terminate with a dampered hood. Step 8. Rough inspections. When framing, insulation, electrical, plumbing, and HVAC rough are in place, call for inspections. Have drawings on site and a step stool ready. Clear access to every panel and mechanical room. Label circuits at the panel. Pump up test gauges and leave them in place. Remove any remnants that hide views, like bats over pipes. Fix notes right away and document the correction with a photo and a line in your log. Step 9. Drywall or liner panels. Before you cover, run an air seal pass. Caulk top plates to drywall lines. Foam small gaps. Tape the air barrier membrane transitions. Then hang drywall or liner panels. Stagger joints. Keep screws straight. Do not break factory edges at openings. Use moisture-resistant board in baths where required. At fire separations, follow the full system. Use correct thickness and type and install as a system with rated joint treatment. Cut out boxes cleanly. Vacuum dust as you go. Finish joints with a clean 3-coat pass. Sand lightly and spot check with a raking light. Prime with a sealer to lock down dust. Step 10. Flooring and moisture checks. Test slab moisture before you glue or lay sensitive floors. Use a calcium chloride test or an in-slab probe. If readings are high, wait and ventilate or use a proper mitigation system designed for adhesive and flooring specifics. Install durable surfaces in the shop and entries. Use transitions that do not create trip hazards. Protect finished floors with clean board while other trades work. Step 11. Cabinets, tops, and trim. Snap level lines for base cabinets. Shim and anchor to studs. Set wall cabinets into blocking you placed during framing. Scribe fillers to walls so doors and drawers clear. Install tops with proper supports and caulk seams tight. Hang doors. Use solid core interior doors in bedrooms and baths for sound. Install casing and base. Cope inside corners for a tight joint. Caulk gaps and fill nail holes. Paint or clear coat to a smooth finish. Step 12. Fixtures, lights, and devices. Set toilets on new wax rings. Tighten by hand and then quarter turns. Do not crack the porcelain. Set lav faucets and supply lines. Flush lines before you connect to avoid debris in valves. Set shower valves to the right depth with trim plates flush. Install light fixtures and fans. Land conductors with the power off. Torque lugs per label. Install receptacles and switches. Test with a simple plug-in tester. Label the panel once more to match the final layout. Install appliances and connect with approved cords, hoses, and gas flex lines. Check for leaks with a detector or soapy water. Vent dryers and hoods to the outside with smooth metal duct. Step 13. Paint and touch. Sand between coats where needed. Keep a wet edge. Ventilate. Protect floors and tops. Use caulk sparingly at trim. Paint doors on stands for clean edges. Leave a labeled touch-up kit for move-in. Step 14. Weather details final pass. Walk the exterior. Confirm sealant beads at windows, doors, and penetrations are continuous. Check kick-out flashings at roof-to-wall transitions. Confirm gutters are pitched. Extend downspouts away from the foundation by at least 5 feet. Add splash blocks or tie downs to grade drains. Touch up any panel scratches to prevent corrosion. Step 15. Energy tests and commissioning. Schedule a blower door test. Before the test, install switch and outlet gaskets on exterior walls. Close all windows and doors. Seal the fireplace if present. During the test, walk with a smoke pencil to find leaks. Seal top plates, attic hatches, and bath fan housings. Run a duct leakage test if required. Balance supply registers so rooms hold near the plan airflow. Measure temperature split across coils and record it. Set thermostats and program schedules. Verify bath fans move air to the exterior. Confirm the range hood flows and the backdraft damper works. Test water heater settings and tempering valves. Test pressure at hose bibs and main. Step 16. Life safety devices and labels. Install smoke alarms and carbon monoxide alarms per code. Test them. Install fire extinguisher in the kitchen and shop. Label the main water shutoff and the gas shutoff. Place a laminated emergency sheet near the panel with contacts and steps to kill power, water, and gas. Step 17. Site and access. Finish grading to fall away from the building. Compact gravel at drives and walks. Pour porch or stoop slabs with slope away from doors. Install house numbers visible from the road. Keep clear access to the panel, water shutoff, and mechanical. Step 18. Final inspections. Clean the site and interior. Remove temporary power if your jurisdiction wants the permanent service active. Open access panels and attic hatches. Place the final set of stamped drawings on the counter. Walk with the inspector. Write down any notes. Fix items the same day if you can. Request reinspection as needed. When you pass, get the certificate of occupancy and a copy for your binder. Verify. Use this checklist before you call for finals. Fire separation between shop and living is complete and sealed. All penetrations are sealed at the air barrier. Insulation matches the plan. Circuits are labeled at the panel. GFCI and AFCI protection are installed where required. Plumbing holds pressure and drains flow. Gas lines are tested and labeled. HVAC runs, drains, and balances. Bath fans and hood vent outside. Blower door passes target. Guardrails and handrails meet height and spacing. Bedrooms have egress windows as drawn. Smoke and carbon monoxide alarms test good. House numbers are visible. Site drains away from the slab. If you cannot confirm an item, pause and fix it now. It is cheaper than a failed inspection. Common fails and fixes. Fail. Insulation installed with gaps or compression. Fix. Pull bats and cut to fit. Add sealant at plates. Probe foam thickness and top up. Fail. No fire blocking in tall walls. Fix. Add fire blocking at required heights and at concealed spaces. Seal edges. Fail. Mixed messages on the air barrier. Fix. Pick one primary air barrier and make every trade respect it. Mark it on the wall. Fail. Bath fans vent into the attic. Fix. Run rigid duct to an exterior hood. Seal at the hood and at the fan. Fail. Panel labeling is vague. Fix. Turn each breaker off one by one and map the circuit. Label with room and loads. Fail. Door swings hit trim or cabinets. Fix. Rehang to the other jam or adjust stop and hardware. Use short throws near corners. Fail. Flooring fails from slab moisture. Fix. Test before install. Use the approved mitigation system if readings are high. Fail. HVAC noise in bedrooms. Fix. Add line boots, increase duct size, reduce velocity, and move returns away from beds. Fail. Water hammer at fast valves. Fix. Add hammer arresters near appliances. Secure lines with better supports. Fail. Blower door fails high. Fix. Find leaks at top plates, hatches, recessed lights, and bath fans. Seal and retest. Document. Build a binder and a digital folder. Final stamp drawings and any revisions. Insulation manifests and foam thickness logs. Electrical load calculation, panel schedule, and circuit map. Plumbing diagrams, test records, and fixture cut sheets. HVAC submittals, manual J&D, balance report, and filter sizes. Blower door and duct leakage test reports. Appliance manuals and serial numbers. Paint colors, flooring specs, grout colors, and finish schedules. Warranty cards and service contacts. Certificate of occupancy and inspection cards. Photos of concealed work with labels by room and wall. Keep a copy off-site or in cloud storage for safety. Hand the binder to future you on move-in day. Maintenance calendar. Write a simple one-year plan. Every 1 to 3 months. Change filters, test smoke and carbon monoxide alarms, walk gutters and downspouts after storms. Every 6 months. Check door seals and adjust overhead doors. Clean bath fan grills. Test GFCI and AFCI devices. Every year. Service the HVAC, flush water heater if the type allows it. Check caulking at windows and doors. Check fasteners on roof panels and trims. After extreme weather. Inspect the shell for loose panels, sealant failures, and grade erosion. At move-in plus 11 months. List warranty items and call trades before coverage ends. Write dates in your phone and in the binder. Small habits protect big investments. Recap. You framed and sealed the interior. You installed insulation that keeps dew point where it belongs. You roughed and tested electrical, plumbing, and HVAC. You closed with drywall or liner panels and set clean finishes. You set fixtures and appliances and balanced air. You passed energy tests and life safety checks. You documented the entire job and built a maintenance plan. That is how a barn dominium becomes a durable, quiet, efficient home.